Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green both go for 30-plus against the Brooklyn Nets. However, KPJ's 36, not quite enough for some Rockets fans. We're going to break down exactly what went wrong, what went right for KPJ in this game against the Brooklyn Nets. Jalen Green, with his fifth consecutive 30-point game, joins a group of elite basketball legends as far as rookies to have that many 30-point games in such a short consecutive stretch. We're talking about Alperen Şengün's involvement in the Houston Rockets offense. And hey, the Rockets now control their destiny as far as nailing a top five draft selection in this year's upcoming NBA draft. We're going to break it all down for you coming up right here at Locked On Rockets.
This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
With the second pick in the 2021 NBA draft, the Houston Rockets select Jalen Green.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep getting better every day. I'm going to keep perfecting my craft. And every time I step on that floor, I'm coming.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's up and welcome to another edition of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and also host of Locked On NBA Mondays and the founder of ClutchCityControlRoom.com. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, as well as at ClutchCityCR. Now, lots to unpack from this Rockets-Nets game. We're going to get into Kevin Porter Jr. and his overall impressive performance offensively, but however, leaving something wanting as far as the playmaking obligations on the floor. We'll get into some of that. We'll get into Jalen Green's fifth consecutive 30-point game, the group of legends that he now joins, the elite company that he finds himself in with so many consecutive games going 30-plus, and just his general performance and how he's winding down this, or his rookie season, this Rockets season. We'll talk about Alperen Şengün and his involvement in the Houston Rockets offense. And hey, the Houston Rockets now control their fate. They control their destiny as far as securing the worst record in the association. We'll get to all of that. But let's start with Kevin Porter Jr. Because in this game against the Brooklyn Nets, Rockets falling 118-105, KPJ and Jalen Green, seemingly for the majority of this game, were the only two Rockets that could make anything, you know, the only two that could score the basketball at all, with so many of the other Houston Rockets struggling in this game. I remember at one point, somewhere midway through the third quarter, I was looking at the numbers and KPJ had 25, Jalen Green had 20, and the entire rest of the Rockets team combined had 20. So it was definitely a very, very rough outing across the board. Only one other person hit a three-point shot outside of Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green, and that was Josh Christopher off the bench, who was 1 for 5. But down the entire roster, not a single other player hit a three-pointer other than Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr., who combined to shoot 10 of 24 from long range, an incredibly respectable percentage, just a hair over 40% if my math is right. But it probably isn't because I can't do mental math. But no, 10 of 24? Yeah, no, that's a little over 40%. I'm proud of myself. I actually nailed that number. But here's the big takeaway that I want to discuss here is it felt like the general reaction to this game from a lot of Rockets fans based on social media discourse and all these things was the fact that Kevin Porter Jr. wasn't doing his job as the point guard of this Rockets team. A lot of people showing frustrations as far as his ability to, I guess, you know, get others involved, orchestrate the Rockets offense, all these things, taking exception to the fact that he was scoring the ball at a fairly elite level. I mean, 36 points on 13 of 26 shooting. I mean, you know, it's overall a very, very solid, impressive night from KPJ. He did finish. He had 2 boards. He had 4 assists. He had a steal, had a few turnovers, had a block. I mean, my thing is KPJ in this game was incredibly locked in from the jump. He was locked in defensively. He was finding and creating looks for his teammates, and he was locked in on offense. And ultimately, what's frustrating about this matchup against the Brooklyn Nets is the way that the Nets play defense. And I think this is something Rockets fans need to kind of understand is like KPJ didn't have any assists at halftime, right? And so Rockets fans were looking at that and thinking, well, he's not doing a good job getting others involved in the offense. Unfortunately, the way the Brooklyn Nets defend, they switch everything. Like they switch so much. And what does a switching defense do? A switching defense flattens out opposing offenses because it gets rid of any of those opportunities for little backdoor cuts, for miscommunications, all that. If you switch everything, it basically forces your opponent to devolve their offense into like just a one-on-one battle. And thankfully for the Houston Rockets, Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr. are very adept at going one-on-one against a lot of different NBA players and have shown that capability as the season has wore on. So that's basically what this game turned into, is it turned into KPJ and Jalen Green basically playing your turn, my turn, hunting switches, finding ways to get, you know, one-on-one opportunities against whichever player got switched onto them from the Brooklyn Nets defense. But even past that, there were plenty of situations, plenty of opportunities where KPJ was generating quality looks for his teammates, and they just weren't converting. I was curious because the eye test, and I looked up the numbers, so it matches my eye test. KPJ finished with 4 assists, right? He generated a solid number of actual looks for his teammates, because when I went and looked back at his potential assists from the game, I had it right here and I just lost it. And now I need to like find it one more time. Hang on. Potential assists from this game. Kevin Porter Jr. was at, oh goodness, I had it right here and it like disappeared. Come on. There it is. Kevin Porter Jr. had 14 potential assists in this game. So not only did he generate 4 assists, he had 14 potential assists on top of that. So that means that of the like 14 potential assists, right, every single one of those potential assists resulted in a missed shot by one of his teammates. And I think the play that really like highlighted and kind of exacerbated the situation when I saw everybody getting their takes off on Twitter talking about KPJ's game was there was a play where KPJ was, you know, kind of isolated in the strong side corner, picked up his dribble, kind of like, you know, swung on his pivot foot left, right, you know, trying to find a window for a pass. KJ Martin goes cutting towards the rim, has an open lane to the bucket. Kevin Porter Jr. hits him beautifully with a bounce pass. KJ starts to rise up and the ball literally, like, he's just not holding on to the ball, like popcorn, butterfingers. And the ball just goes straight, it like almost bounces off the shot clock. It like flies up that high in the air. That was kind of like the encapsulation of this game against the Brooklyn Nets, a game that was very ugly from the Rockets' perspective. Nobody could hit anything outside of Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green. And maybe we'll give Alper and Şengün a little bit of credit as well for showing up, but not necessarily being utilized to the extent that he probably should have been within the Rockets' offense in this game, given the way that the Brooklyn Nets were playing defense against the Houston Rockets, switching everything and kind of funneling so much of the offense through Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr. But that's kind of where I wanted to, you know, push back on a little bit, is Kevin Porter Jr. wasn't the issue in this game. Like, him taking the shots that he took wasn't the issue in this one. Now, I will say that I do have one more point on Kevin Porter Jr. to bring up about this game as it relates to Jalen Green. And then we'll talk about Jalen Green's success in this one, the continued 30-point scoring barrage that he's facing, Alperen Şengün's involvement in the Houston Rockets offense. And hey, the Rockets controlling their destiny now for the potential, or for a potential top 5 pick in this next year's NBA draft. But first, quick message from our friends over at Shady Rays. Because Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that gives you the features of $200 sunglasses for just a fraction of the price. That means polarized lenses, well-constructed durable frames, and premium high-end finishes. Also, something you won't find anywhere else is Shady Rays' insane protection program. Shady Rays includes lost and broken protection on every single pair. They will send you a brand new pair if you lose them, no matter what happened. I can't tell you how many pairs of sunglasses I've lost over the years, so I love this disclaimer from them. It's incredible. Give them a try, and if you don't love them, you'll pay nothing. It's as simple as that. Plus, 10 meals are donated to fight hunger in America when you shop with Shady Rays. Exclusively for our listeners, head to the Shady Rays website, shadyrays.com, and use code LOCKEDON to get 50% off 2 or more pairs of polarized sunglasses. That's code LOCKEDON for the best deal of the season, 50% off 2 or more pairs of Shady Rays sunglasses, backed by over 150,000 verified 5-star reviews. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, appreciate you making Locked On Rockets your first listen each and every day. For your next listen, go check out the Locked On Now podcast, nightly recaps of every NBA game with analysis from our local experts, free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Now, I want to hammer home, you know, this other point here about Kevin Porter Jr. and in this game specifically, and why I feel like some Rockets fans kind of took exception with kind of how this game was played out by Kevin Porter Jr. specifically, despite having a really effective night scoring 36, his highest point total, a season high for KBJ, and his highest point total since the 50 piece against the Milwaukee Bucks last season. And that has to be the fact that Jalen Green didn't attempt his first shot until 7 minutes into this game. And that, frankly, cannot happen. That is inexcusable. And Kevin Porter Jr. is directly to blame for that. Because as the point guard of the team, you need to understand that you are, the guy who's supposed to set the table for everyone, right? And for your running mate, your backcourt star in Jalen Green, to go the first 7 minutes of the game without attempting a single shot just simply cannot happen, right? At some point in the game, 2, 3, 4 minutes in, you got to call a play. You got to do something to get Jalen a quality shot off. Because when Jalen finally did touch the ball and attempt his first shot, he went on an absolute tear. Jalen Green, over the court, he attempted his first shot with about 5 minutes ago in the first quarter, and he actually played the whole first quarter and then the first couple minutes at the top of the second quarter. And across that 7 minute span, Jalen Green had 14 points. So 14 points in 7 minutes is pretty damn good. And it's unfortunate that the Rockets didn't utilize him earlier in the game. And now I already highlighted the fact that the way the Brooklyn Nets play defense, it does kind of squash and flatten out the Rockets offense and make things a bit more difficult. So Kevin Porter Jr. did have the opportunities, right, to, just kind of go one-on-one, go after his buckets. And he started the game really, really strong. And the rest of the Rockets, frankly, did not. Now, that said, Jalen Green didn't get the opportunities early on, and that does directly fall onto Kevin Porter Jr. and kind of setting things up for the Rockets team, putting guys in positions to be successful, which is where I do come away thinking, okay, I'm kind of torn on it, right? Is I don't think Kevin Porter Jr. was the reason for this Rockets loss. The reason for this Rockets loss was the fact that nobody else could hit any shots in this game. That's the reason for this loss. And that's the reason why the Rockets trailed this game a majority of the way. Also the fact that they had zero answer for Kyrie Irving, who went off for 42 points on 13 of 24 shooting. 8 of 16 from three, zero ability to slow Kyrie down. He was able to get absolutely everything that he wanted whenever he wanted, no matter what. And I mean, Kevin Durant, the Rockets actually did a seemingly decent job on Kevin Durant. He was just 4 of 13 from the floor, was 9 of 10 from the charity stripe, absolutely. But just KD wasn't hitting the usual shots that he hits, but he didn't even crack 20 points. He was 18 points on 4 of 13 shooting. That's it. This Rockets team lost to Kyrie Irving and Bruce Brown, which is kind of absurd to think about. I'm not complaining about the L, because now the Rockets actually control their fate for a top pick this season. We'll get more on that in segment three. But back to the KPJ angle, because I think that's kind of the area that's interesting, is KPJ has all the tools to be an elite point guard. And we've seen him have stretches where he's done an incredible job, on the floor, balancing, being a scorer, being that dynamic scoring threat, as well as incorporating and involving his teammates. But in this game specifically, it was just kind of the Brooklyn Nets game plan. And then not only that, but the fact that his teammates couldn't convert when they did get the opportunities to actually shoot the basketball. When he was creating opportunities for them, they just could not sink them. So I don't walk away thinking any differently about KPJ from this game. I don't think there should be some gigantic referendum on him because he didn't have any assists at halftime. The Rockets simply just weren't hitting shots. That's the be all end all of the story here in this game. I do think it's worth noting again, the whole point about getting Jalen Green more involved in the offense. That is an area where you want to be a little bit more concerned and trying to figure out what's happening on the floor. That's the earlier episode we did this week with Frank as a guest on the, on the second episode of this week. We talked about, are Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr. actually complementary players to one another? Do they make each other's lives easier on the floor? I think sometimes they do. And I think sometimes they definitely fall into a bit of a your turn, my turn style of offense, where they're not necessarily creating opportunities for one another. And I think that's kind of what we saw in this one, where it was just your turn, my turn, only it was a lot of Kevin Porter Jr.'s turn for the start of this game. And he got off to a hot start and it worked, sort of. The Rockets found themselves kind of back into this game in certain stretches where they were cutting the lead down to, 8-10 here and there. The Nets weren't able to really successfully completely pull away in this game because KPJ and Jalen Green kept sinking shots, and they very much, I can't say single-handedly, double-handedly, the two of them, whatever. The two of them kept the Rockets in this game because nobody else was converting. That said, on Jalen Green's end, when he did get the opportunity to be the focal point, we saw exactly what we've seen over this last five game stretch. He took over. He was dominant. He is finally, he's just so comfortable out there now. Like, he looks so fluid, so sure of himself out there. Whereas earlier this season, he just wasn't decisive at times. He was very passive when it came to like deferring to other guys ahead of him, kind of in the pecking order in the Rocket system, be it C. Wood, be it KPJ at times, EG. Now we're just seeing this version of Jalen Green where he has so much in his bag that he's comfortable with going to. And I think that's the big thing, is I don't want to say that he's suddenly like developed all these new skills as the season has gone on. He's definitely added more to his game. But I think a big part of it is he's just like, things have slowed down for him. And now he has counters upon counters. He has ways that he can get things done on the floor that he just wasn't able to do earlier this season. Like, case in point, he used the rim to kind of, you know, shield his layups twice in this game against the Brooklyn Nets. And that's something that we didn't see him do a lot earlier this season. We'd see him like break his man down off the dribble or like be in transition and get right to the rim, but he would get up to the rim and then get his like shot blocked, like sent, you know, out to the, you know, courtside seats or whatever, or just pinned up against the glass because he was just so sure of himself to beat his defender using his speed. He wasn't worried about what was going to happen because he was so used to just getting to the rim and getting by his defenders that now guys are able to like keep up with him a little bit more, recover a little bit more at the NBA level. And so now we're seeing him figure out, okay, I can beat my guy off the dribble still. Let me get to the other side of the rim and finish on that side so that they can't actually block my shot. So we're seeing him add so many of these little things to his game that just weren't there earlier, which is why we're seeing him put together these insane scoring performances. Fifth 30-point game in a row. And he joins some incredibly elite company because now Jalen Green is just the 10th rookie in NBA history to score 30 points in five consecutive games. He joins a supremely elite group of Hall of Fame players: Wilt Chamberlain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Oscar Robertson, Rick Barry, Earl Monroe, Walt Bellamy, and Allen Iverson. That is some insanely elite company to be a part of if you're Jalen Green, and just shows that what he's doing right. Now, granted, the final bucket of this game was kind of a cheesy bucket where like the Rockets wanted Jalen Green to get his 30 points. And so he cherry picked for the final bucket of the game. I'm not going to like hold it against him, though. He was right on the cusp. He was at 28. He earned every single one of those buckets except for being a little cheesy on the final bucket of the night. Sure. That said, another incredibly impressive performance from Jalen Green, getting to, again, just getting to his spots on the floor. Right. And that's exactly what I wanted to see out of him earlier this season. And it, you know, I don't say that it's frustrating that it took this long. I understand that not every rookie can come out of the gate and be like super, like just ready to go. And I'm glad that he's finally like comfortable on the floor and getting to the spots where he can be successful, right? We're seeing him get to the mid-range area. We're seeing him get to those step back three-pointers that have been so lethal, right? Creating all that space with his handle where he just starts even like just the briefest of moves. And defenders are so terrified about his explosive first step that they're just on the way. Like they're just following. And then he just, you know, a quick little snatchback dribble or a step back, and he has all the space in the world to attempt threes. It's absolutely filthy. So Jalen Green continues to impress. He's going to close out the season on such a high note. At this point, my goal for Jalen Green is to just, he's right now fourth on the Kia rookie ladder. I want him to finish in the top three so that he can be a finalist for the Rookie of the Year award. Like that's basically what I want. I don't think he has a legitimate shot at this point, unfortunately, just because of how well Evan Mobley played all year and also how strongly Cade Cunningham has also played post All-Star break, in conjunction with the fact that Cade probably played a little bit better than Jalen Green pre All-Star break as well, once he finally like joined the Pistons rotation after missing the first chunk of the year. So I think it's, you know, he has a very outside shot, but I want him to just at least be a finalist because he is absolutely, like, Cade and Jalen have been the two best rookies in the NBA since the All-Star break. That is zero argument. Jalen Green has absolutely outplayed Evan Mobley, Scottie Barnes, Franz Wagner, Josh Giddey, every single one of them in the second half of this NBA season. So with that, pardon me, I do want to talk about Alperen Şengün, his involvement in the Rockets offense, and kind of the fact that at times they don't utilize him to the best of their abilities, and that you know, can probably be a little bit of give a little bit of frustration to Alp. We're going to get there after a quick message from our friends over at Built Bar, because when it comes to protein bars, you've got to check out Built Bars. They are the number one protein bars on the market. So many amazing flavors to choose from. I mean, my personal favorite is coconut brownie chunk. That's like the goat Built Bar. Can't go wrong with it. But you also got strawberry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter, salted caramel, cookies and cream. I could just go on and on and on, right? Out of all these flavors, every single bar is coated in 100% delicious chocolate. They aren't gritty or chalky like other protein bars out there. They're soft. They're easy to chew. They're low-cal, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber. Amazing if you're on a keto diet. Amazing if you're trying to cut back a little bit, lose a little bit of weight. You can check them out. Just go to built.com and use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off your very next order of the best tasting protein bars on the market. Again, that's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, appreciate you making Locked On Rockets your first listen each and every day. For your second listen, go check out the Locked On NBA podcast. Locked On experts covering the biggest stories around the NBA every Monday through Friday in less than 30 minutes. I host the Monday show, three stories from around the NBA with three interview with three different hosts. It's always a ton of fun. Be sure to check it out every single Monday, as well as the other 5 days, 4 days out of the week. Let's talk a little bit about Alperen Şengün from this game against the Brooklyn Nets, because Alpi finished with a pretty respectable stat line, 14 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 block, 5 of 11 shooting offensively, was 0 of 2 from 3, 4 of 4 at the charity stripe, becomes the first Rockets rookie since Luis Scola to have, I believe, 8 double-doubles in his rookie year on the season. So again, Luis Scola, longtime Rockets fan favorite, definitely one of my favorite Houston Rockets ever. And so to be mentioned in the same line as Luis Scola, always a feel-good moment. But for Alperen Şengün in this game, now Alpi walks away having a couple highlights in this game, right? He had the absolute poster. I believe it was on Nick Claxton, right? I think it was Nick Claxton. No, who was it? It wasn't Kyler Edwards, was it? Kessler Edwards? There it is. Kessler Edwards. I don't know why I said Kyler Edwards. I'm getting my names all mixed up. He had the absolute poster on Kessler Edwards in this one. Just Şengün fearless, rumbling towards the rim. And I don't think, like, you could see the look on Kessler Edwards' face when you go back and watch the highlight. And he's like, he wasn't expecting Alpi to, like, elevate and try to, like, throw it down. He was just thought he was going in there trying to block a layup attempt or something. And Alpi is fearless, man. He drives in there. And again, I think rumble is the word. He gets in there and he's looking to posterize some people. So that's always fun to see. And he had another moment in this game where he absolutely put Kevin Durant on skates. I mean, he drove in from the baseline, spun around in the lane. KD's like ankle, like locked, like he was like, huh! And then like Alpi turned around, hit the little turnaround fadeaway in the paint. And it was pure. It was awesome. But in this game specifically, I think that there were some moments where, especially given the struggles of everybody else offensively for this Rockets team, and this is one of the issues when the Rockets do kind of play their five-out style of offense, right, is Alpi's constantly looking for a post-up opportunity, like constantly, right, calling for the ball, especially on little switches and stuff down low, trying to get it done. It's just unfortunate that it feels like very few Rockets players on this team are comfortable throwing a quality, like, entry-level pass when Alpi gets his man sealed off behind him, because he like Alpi does the early work, right, as a big. Like, he'll get his guy completely sealed off and have, like, no way for that player to tip the pass, you know, intercept the pass, like, whatever. And he'll get some, like, deep post position on some of these guys. And the amount of times that Alpi does that work as a big and the Rockets either just look him off or swing the ball to the other side, like, I'm sure it's a little bit frustrating, because Alpi is absolutely talented enough to be able to have the offense run through him to where he can create some easy opportunities for his teammates or just get to the bucket himself, right? And either create opportunities for himself or get to the free throw line, like all of that. We've seen this happen all season long. And I think if you are looking for an area of KPJ's game that you would hope he can work on, it's realizing that he needs to kind of share the love, you know, to the guys on the team who can really, like, effectively impact the game on a wide scale. And what I mean by that is, like, there are times when they're, like, feeding Jayshon Tate on a mismatch down low and stuff. And I'm I don't see how in a lineup that was featuring the players that were featured in this game against the Brooklyn Nets, I mean, Alperen Şengün should have at worst been your third option offensively. And at times, he probably should have been the first or second option when he was on the floor, depending on where Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr. were at within, you know, a given stretch of the game. So I do think that Alpi at times does get looked over by some of his teammates. It's not just Kevin Porter Jr. At times, other guys aren't necessarily watching for his post-ups. And I get that that can probably be a little bit frustrating for Alpi. He's got to be made a bit more of a focal point within the Rockets offense. That doesn't mean come down and run a post up for Alpi every single possession, right? That's not what I'm looking for here. But that said, especially in a game where you're finding where the Rockets as a team are struggling to hit their outside shots off of the like penetration opportunities from Kevin Porter Jr., from Jalen Green, right? Where those two guys are doing so much of the heavy lifting. Maybe, you know, during a stretch of this game, and maybe this is on Silas too a little bit, right? Maybe you kind of split up your guys a little bit. Okay, like Jalen has it going, KPJ has it going, nobody else has it going. Let's stagger those guys a little bit so that we can kind of go like, you know, KPJ option one, Alpi option two, Jalen option one, Alpi option two, or get both of those guys off the floor and then you just go to Alpi being your number one option for a little bit while he's on the floor. Like staggering those guys so that you can have the effective ability of running the offense through Alper and Şengün without necessarily not taking advantage of Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr. when they're on the floor. So all of that to say, it's just, you know, we've seen what Alpi can do consistently when he's given those reps with the ball in his hands, how he creates for his teammates, how he is a walking highlight reel waiting to happen. And in this one, I just noticed a few times too many for my liking, where Alpi was ready, was calling for the ball, did the work early, and wasn't getting the involvement from his teammates. And he's proven to be too good for that to happen. Like Alpi and Jae'Sean Tate shouldn't finish with the same shot attempts in a given game. Alpi and even Josh Christopher shouldn't finish with the same shot attempts within a given game. Like, especially not in this stretch of the season where, yeah, you've got Jalen and KPJ are your first and second options. You can argue who's actually first and who's actually second, especially in KPJ's mind. That's fine. Point is, the guy who should be number three after those guys is very readily apparent. It's Alper and Şengün after those guys. So Jae'Sean Tate, 10 shot attempts. Alpi, 11 shot attempts. Josh Christopher off the bench, 11 shot attempts. KJ Martin, 8 shot attempts. Like, Alpi should be clear-cut the third option on the team. He should have had probably around 15 to 18 shot attempts behind Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green. And maybe you could have divvied up some of the shot attempts that even those guys got to get Alpi a little bit more involved in the offense. But I think it's more so you take some of the shot attempts away from the other guys who very clearly just did not have it in this game, and you allow Alpi to kind of cook a little bit on the low block. So that's my takeaway regarding Alper and Şengün in this game. I do want to talk about, though, the joyous news, the momentous occasion that is the Orlando Magic winning a basketball game. Oh my God, it was the greatest thing ever. The Magic walked away with a gigantic win for the Houston Rockets. I've never been a bigger Magic fan in my life than when the Magic beat the Cleveland Cavaliers the other night, 120 to 115. Such a great moment for the Houston Rockets, because now the Rockets absolutely control their fate as far as being the worst record in the association, as long as they lose out these final couple games. Now, if the Magic win another game, then the Rockets could also win another game and like not have it be the end of the world. So best case scenario for the Rockets right now is for the Magic to lose one more of their remaining. I believe the Magic have two games left. I want to double check that and make sure that I'm not like off on my numbers here. But I do believe the Magic have two games left, and those two games are against the Charlotte Hornets and then the Miami Heat. So I think the Charlotte Hornets are going to be absolutely going all out, because they're still vying for play and positioning, like all of that. But then against the Miami Heat, the Heat potentially might just opt to rest some of their guys. As far as the standings go, they are comfortably two games ahead of the Boston Celtics for the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, assuming nothing crazy happens, right? I don't think they have any matchups left, like against the Celtics specifically or against the Bucks to close out the season. I will double check here just on that number. Yeah, they're against Atlanta and Orlando to close out the season. So there's no chance for the Miami Heat to drop below the one seed. So I could very easily see them resting some guys over these last couple games of the season, which makes an Orlando win actually a bit more likely in all, you know, as far as things are concerned from the Rockets perspective. But as it stands right now, if the Rockets just lose out the rest of the season, they will be guaranteed no lower than a top five pick. There may be an opportunity, though, if the Orlando Magic win one more game, which it could happen against Miami Heat. I don't necessarily see it happening against the Charlotte Hornets. Then the Rockets could conceivably get away with wanting to win that final home game of the season, where we will have Paulo Alves from Portugal visiting. We're going to do a big watch party Friday night at Urban South HTX, hosted by the Summit State of Mind guys. Great podcast. Go check out the show if you haven't done so yet. Great pair of brothers, very knowledgeable Rockets fans. It's an amazing show. We're going to have a watch party Friday night for the Rockets Raptors game, hosted by myself, by them, by Will Bias Houston, by Don Knock. A bunch of us are going to be out there. A ton of people are going to turn out to show up, say hi to Paolo, all that good stuff. And then we'll actually all be at the Rockets game on Sunday as well. And there's probably going to be something done either right before the game Sunday or right after the game just to kind of celebrate, hang out, have a good time, all of that. It'd be great to celebrate a win if the Orlando Magic can pick up one more win this season. But that said, Rockets are firmly in control of their draft lottery positioning now. And with that, that means we have to do a lottery spin. As per customary on a show talking about an L, we're going to do a lottery spin here, and hopefully it's a good one for the Rockets. Not the end of the world. I don't think I've done a single spin where they've walked away with the number one overall pick. But in this spin, OKC jumps up three spots to number one. Detroit jumps up one spot to number two. The Rockets fall down two spaces to number three. The San Antonio Spurs jump into the top five. They jump up five spots to number four. And Orlando is all the way down at number five themselves. So with that, with OKC and Detroit at the top of the pecking order, I am going to probably send... that's tough. Because Detroit could really use any of the top four. And OKC... I don't know. I'll send Chet to Oklahoma City. I will send Jabari to Detroit. And that leaves the Rockets with a choice between Paolo Banchero and Jaden Ivey. And even though I'm torn because even though I have Ivey still higher on my board than Paolo, I do kind of think the Rockets need to take a big. If you can have access to one of the three bigs in this draft, you got to go that route. So I will take Paolo Banchero at number three overall for the Houston Rockets in this latest Locked On Rockets tankathon simulation. But with that, that's going to do it for today's episode. If you haven't done so yet, please consider subscribing wherever you listen to your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Google, the brand new Odyssey app, free and available on all platforms. Also, be sure to check out the show on YouTube. Search Locked On Rockets on YouTube. Like, comment, subscribe, all that stuff. How do you feel about Kevin Porter Jr.'s performance in this game against the Nets? How are you feeling about KPJ moving forward alongside Jalen Green in the Rockets backcourt? Let me know in the comments. I do read each and every one of those. But as always, thank you so much for watching, so much for listening. And we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.